Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer podcast. I'm your editor, Ross Atherton, and joining me in the PC Gamer studios, as usual, are...
Deputy Editor on Tim Edwards.
Hello, Tim. And also...
Section Editor, Tom Francis.
And finally, and last but not least...
Craig Pearson, Editor of News.
Hello, Craig. We are all here.
We're all conventional this month.
Yeah, we actually managed to get through it.
We all
perfectly.
Said our job roles and
that's
our
true,
names
actually.
And we've screwed up or made up a name.
Deputy
or...
Editron, which yeah. is...
That's
which
true.
Is some kind of
I don't
crazy...
feel quite like a Box Exington mood today.
No? What kind of mood are you in today, Craig?
Crackick Jones.
Okay.
That's my new name.
Excellent. Crackick Jones. Glad we've got that sorted out.
And I'm not feeling stealthy because it's raining outside, and as you all know, when spies are cloaked and they come out of water, they drip slightly so you can see them.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not master of stealth.
I did notice that on the way to the studio.
Just hordes of them walking the streets.
At one point today, right?
That's a bloody spy.
At one point today, you were right behind me. I went to open the door and held it open, and then Tom walked through.
Right, yeah.
I was only disguised.
I was going to tell you about that, but yeah. Okay, good. So, what are we going to talk about today, Tim?
We could do the charts, but with a clever and interesting twist.
Yes, a twist on the charts, and also...
Spore.
We're going to talk about Spore because that's, yes, that's kind of linked into our new issue, which we'll tell you about in a minute.
Thought we could talk about our showdown.
Yes, the PC Gamer Showdown.
Or, as we like to call it now, the Road to Showdown.
Road to Showdown.
Or down.
The Road Down, the Road to Showdown.
That would be quite good.
Can we have a hoedown at Showdown?
That's actually in the schedule.
Can we have Showdown at Showdown?
No, she couldn't make it.
If anyone gets mown down at the Showdown, it'll be a hilarious but tragic news story.
During the hoedown?
PC Gamer Showdown, hoedown, mow down. Weather at 8.
Oh, God.
We could write a Motown song about it.
We should really rehearse these things more. excellent. Anything else we're going to talk about today? Lots of interesting things in the new issue we're going to tell you about. And
I have a physical real letter from a reader that I'd like to read.
Excellent. Well, let's come to that in a bit. But I should point out that's the sound of a real live paper letter.
Yeah, that wasn't me rustling it, though.
No, that was Craig. Also, listen out for an extra special extra podcast, which we're going to put up any minute now, which is going to be about... Yeah, all about our PC Gamer Showdown.
We're going to give you the lowdown on Showdown.
The lowdown on the hoedown at the Showdown without a Motown song. Good.
Shall we do the charts then?
Let's do the charts. And what is the twist on this week's charts, Tim?
I'm going to let people guess by their positions.
That's good.
Well, no, actually.
What? That's stupid.
It's the Reader's Top 100.
This is not the PC Game sales charts as normal. This is the current state of affairs on our Reader's Top 100. As you, I'm sure you all know,
and this is,
we're running...
When's this been recorded? What day?
This is... I don't know. What's the day today?
Thursday.
Is it 12th
14th.
Or something?
14th.
You're so wrong.
I'm guessing.
I think it's the 12th of August. Does anyone corroborate?
I thought it was later than that. I don't know.
We are in the past, and it is.
We're all quite stoned right now.
Look, the point is, we've got a website going where the entire world is voting on its favourite PC games ever in the world, ever. And voting is ongoing. We'll be going on for another, 6 weeks or so. Been going on a few weeks so far, and the voting currently is proving quite interesting. We've got things going up and down the charts.
Volatile.
Volatile is a good word, a good way to put it. So today, the charts, in place of the normal charts, we're going to have the current state of affairs at the top of our Reader's Top 100.
See, I think that would have been a nice little puzzle to not say that and read the charts as if they were the charts and then say afterwards, this was the twist. But no.
Maybe we'll do that some other time.
Yeah. I'm glad we explained it, to be honest.
Well, so you know, I think people might get a bit suspicious if they hear about, you know, Diablo 2 being at number
11. Well, you already 11. Said it was a new twist on the charts.
Yeah, well, then I'll explain the twist.
Although isn't Diablo 2 at number,
just
like...
God's sake, I'm in charge!
Diablo 2 is like number 6 in the US charts.
Yeah, it is actually.
It's the wrong game to choose, Ross.
Oh!
The website, if you'd like to vote, is www.pcgamertop100.com.
I thought it was pcgamer.co.uk/top100.
Both work.
Okay.
But let's not confuse our listeners.
Do you remember back on TV... when the web was new, people wanted to come up with a quick way of saying http://www. And you're supposed to say hit web. That was like the synonym for it that they came up with. And nobody ever used it ever again.
You're the only person that
it was like
that.
The information superhighway. Yeah, that's going to catch on.
Wow, how exciting.
And at number 10,
yes,
Deus Ex.
Only number 10, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the higher than it is in the charts.
Yeah.
Number 9, StarCraft.
Yeah, that
there is some blowback.
What?
That's not the phrase whatsoever.
So okay, it's a bit of a backlash.
Oh, God.
From
a bit of a backwash.
Yeah, a bit of.
Stop it.
Number 8, number 7.
I'm moving swiftly on.
Number 7, Team Fortress 2.
Yay, number seven.
That started very high. That was like number two, I think, for a while.
Because everyone was copying us.
Very rapidly, almost dropped completely out of the chart.
But the thing is, it's not that it's being voted down. It's just that other things are being sort of down. No, exactly.
But so I would like to say
more votes coming for other things.
I boldly went on the Team Fortress 2 forum and says, like, guys, Lord of the Rings is at number one. Maybe you should come over here and vote up TF2 if you love it.
Have you just spoiled the end of this?
A little bit. Well, no, I haven't actually. But
no, you haven't.
Immediately afterwards, Team Fortress 2 plummeted like six places. People actually reacted against me saying that.
They literally can't do that.
Well, they all went and voted for Half-Life 2 and all the games, basically. They're like, what? We don't believe this.
It was not like that was below TF2 at the time.
Mm. What's the number six, then?
Portal.
Portal. Mm, wow. Okay, very good.
Number five is Call of Duty 4.
Oh, what the hell?
It's quite very a good popular game. Online.
Unworthy of being either.
Number four is World of Warcraft.
That's just about right.
Number three is Lord of the Rings Online.
Okay.
They have a large community, don't they?
Quite a good
game. Thanks, Codemasters.
It's a very active community, so well done them for getting their game up so high.
But I think there's a community more active than that.
We cannot influence or change these charts in any way. This is the world speaking.
We can try, though.
We can try.
Number two is Half-Life 2. Woo!
Yep, that is, I think, the only game where it's been at number one for almost all of the time, like 90% of the time it's been number one. It's had a huge lead over everything else, and Valve didn't, you know, tell people to go and vote for it. It just happened.
Yep.
And number one is EVE Online.
The power of communities, ladies and gentlemen. EVE Online has got to number one currently. It's not, you know, these aren't the final results. Obviously, we've got another 6 weeks to go, but that is a very active community getting online and all voting.
Who really cares for their game?
They really care for the game. And you know, I think that's absolutely brilliant.
It's kind of a game I don't really mind seeing at number one because it is just profoundly unlike anything else. And, you know, it does things that no other game will let you do.
And I did have fun in it as well when I played it.
It feels like something that you'll never see on another platform.
Yeah.
The great thing is we're going to see more games shooting up and down the list as different communities get involved and just get kind of encouraged to vote by each other, by their community managers. So I wouldn't expect EVE to be at the top for the next 6 weeks, let's put it that way. So,
That's the charts.
The slightly different charts.
The real charts, The Sims 2 Double Deluxe is at number one.
That's why we're not doing the real charts.
Right.
Right, so
what's frightening is there's another Will Wright game coming out.
Yes, that's a good segue. Pretty much.
I exposed the segue, Ross.
You lampshaded the segue.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Tom Find a new Spore. Host.
So speaking of lampshades.
Yes.
You can make one in Spore.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
A race of vases, and there is a lamp as well. I don't think I ever actually encountered the lamp, but it's the Pixar lamp. There's a race of those running around.
It might be a vehicle for the...
It could be, but it's not.
Yeah.
So, what is Spore, Tom?
Spore. Hold on. I'm just going to bookmark this.
That was me saying Spore?
This is the new issue of PC Gaming, which is out on August 28th, which is hopefully around the time you listen to this. It's in the shops on the Thursday, and it's got the Spore review in it. I say the Spore review. It's the first first Spore review in the world.
It's the only, apparently. Yeah. No one else has reviewed it.
There'll be no other reviews. No. It's the review.
Which, of course, made it slightly lonely at some stages because Spore is populated by other people's content, and although it can take all the creatures from Sporepedia that people have made with a free creature creator, it can't get anything from the vehicle phases and, you know, the buildings and the UFOs and the races you meet in space.
Are you saying our review is flawed, Tom?
I'm saying that...
Say no.
You can't really judge what people are going to make before they've made it.
Sure.
So I can't review the content that you guys are about to make when it comes out shortly after this podcast.
Fair enough. Yes, suffice to say, it's very, very good, isn't it?
Yes, and it's not really... I was going to say it's kind of a new kind of game, or rather it's not a conventional kind of game. But I think probably more people will end up agreeing with me if I say... It fails as a conventional game. Like, as a raw mechanics, as simple, just little game modes, you know, with things to kill and things to run away from and actions to do, it's not that interesting. And if it didn't have custom content, it would be a decent but not particularly impressive or exciting game. And so the whole thing is just about the incredible things people have made and watching those run around and the fact that they kind of... they can, you know, interact with each other independent of you, so...
This is the thing, isn't it? It's not just being creative, it's not just making things. It's then seeing what the game does with the things you made and also what you then go on to do with them at the later points of the game, isn't it? It's that that kind of emergent stuff that sparks from what you created.
Yeah, it's like there is no kind of content in the traditional sense of, you know, pre-scripted missions and, story or anything. It's just everything that happens is emergent in some sense. It's all based on these simple sets of rules and... What are you going to ask?
What was your kind of favourite moment playing it?
Probably still the 100-foot chair.
Yeah.
It's hard to top that, really, because I hadn't really seen anything like it at the time.
I didn't think you were allowed to make them that big.
Sorry?
I didn't think you were allowed to make them that tall.
Oh, you can't. That's a normal-sized creature that the game has made epic. So what happened was I got to the tribe phase of the game, and... Once your creature becomes smart enough to use tools, you get a nice little homage to 2001, A Space Odyssey. You know, like the scene with the apes where they're beating their bones and learning how to use tools. What, for 2001? Turns out man was invented.
That's next on my Love Film Rental list, actually. It's going alphabetically, starting with 2001.
You've seen it before, I assume.
Going down to the Zs. I have, but I fell asleep halfway through.
There's a recent Flash guide to 2001 explaining what Kubrick means by all the random abstract stuff. Which sounds like a terrible idea because, you know, it's supposed to be open to interpretation, but to be honest, I missed quite a lot of what's going on.
And that's a lot of that's in a novel, isn't it?
Anyway, you get to the tribe phase and then you can move the camera around for the first time freely because you're no longer controlling one creature, you're controlling a whole tribe of them. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do is just hold right mouse button and push the mouse forwards and you can scroll through, you know, the jungle and the mountains and the sea and stuff, and you just keep on going until you go around the entire planet and come back to where you start from, which is awesome. And in doing that, I came across a 150-foot tall chair that was just kind of walking across the land.
And it attacked...
It's an absolutely beautifully made chair. It's one of the creations that's been featured on Sporepedia, and one of Max's favourite ones made by the community. You know, it's got little feathers inlaid into the back, and it just looks exactly like a chair until you see it moving. And the game can randomly select different creatures and different species to just have one of them, and one that's Godzilla size and just stomping around terrorizing anything it finds, and it has 1,000 hit points and kills things in one hit and can pick people up and throw them around and that kind of stuff. So I was watching it hoping it would kind of run into some enemies of some kind, hopefully not my village but someone's, and it did. It ran into a village of pink creatures that I hadn't seen before, and when I zoomed in as these creatures are chucking their spears at this enormous chair that was kind of like kneeling down to try and nudge them a little bit, they were all creatures or old men sitting in wheelchairs rolling around. So the wheelchair's part of the creature and they're kind of like got these big kind of sad, saggy faces and big boggly eyes squeaking around their campfire throwing spears in the wheelchair.
It's all so wrong.
Do you think
The stuff like that happens all the time. That was my favourite just because I'd never seen anything like it at the time. But to be honest, the appeal never really wears off of just encountering like completely bizarre creatures and ran into a little tribe of USS Enterprises that just hopper along. And they were really peaceful, but they didn't really seem that impressive to me, so I killed them rather than befriending them. And it just ended with, you have to kill a certain number of them before they're extinct. Like, not all of them, but just enough, and then the rest of them just kind of die out somehow. And the last one I had to kill, there are presumably others somewhere in the world, but the only one I could find when I had one creature left to kill was a baby USS Enterprise. I'd created this like horrible creature that was just a little sack with a giant proboscis on the top that kind of sucked people. And there's that chasing a baby Enterprise, desperately trying to get away, squealing. Then the Enterprises were extinct.
Do you think people should... Because one of the things I think about this game is that playing it in the first couple of weeks is going to be really exciting as new stuff is kind of constantly...
Yeah, definitely.
And when it's kind of the most active time.
So right now, the gene pool for phases other than the creature one is so small that the first time I played the space phase, the first race I encountered was my race. The game said nothing to draw it except like Max's creations and mine. And I was talking to Kristen from the US PC Gamer, who's reviewing at the moment, a little while after us. And her greatest ally in the space phase is one of the creatures I made... to go to the space phase first.
Excellent.
That's going to happen all the time.
Intergalactic family of PC Gamer.
Although, obviously, your stuff is, you know, a drop in the ocean of the Spore content. If you add someone as a buddy on Spore, then it prioritizes their content when populating your world. So make sure all your friends make awesome stuff.
That brings us to the PC Gamer Sporecast.
Yes. Tell people how to be a part of it.
So one thing you do is add a friend, and then it will prioritize their content. But you might not necessarily like everything your friends make, or you might just want you want to make kind of a set of your favourite stuff that then other people can subscribe to, or you might want to make a themed set like all the sci-fi stuff or all the Half-Life 2 creatures, And you do that with a sporecast. So you just create a new sporecast, you search for the stuff you want, you add it to the sporecast, and then that's a set of content that's online that anyone can find and subscribe to. And again, that'll be picked from first when the game's trying to populate your world. And so we created a PC Gaming one, which is just going to be all our favourite stuff. I've been saving creatures, you know, about 5 a day since 4PDA launched, and there's now 2.5 million online, and I've got about 500, I think, maybe 600, of the absolute best of the best.
So this is just going to be cool shit that PC Gamer finds.
Yeah, and as we update it, that stuff will get automatically fed into your game.
It's
going to
be a no giant cock guarantee as well.
Yeah, I think we can more or less make that guarantee. Sometimes, excellent, though,
you're adding.
Provided we keep Tim out of the equation.
Sometimes you will see quite an innocent looking creature in a little thumbnail, and you can't really see a bigger version after you've added it to the sporecast. And you might just be running out and find that actually it moves by fucking things, or or its mouth is really a giant penis.
Final spoiler point is that we have quite a special prize for one lucky reader.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that, yeah. Sorry. Craig, you wrote about this.
Tom wrote about it, actually.
It's more excellent.
I could tell you what it is, though.
Just getting bored of the sound of Tom's voice.
It's create a piece. What is it again?
I'll do it.
Okay. Tim can do it. One reader will be able to make you a model out of wax? Plastic?
No, it's like a sort of a 3D printer.
Okay, it's magic, I think. It's made of magic.
Professional stuff. Made of pixies.
Of your creature. And if you can email us... is it PNG files that it sends out?
They need to put it on Sporepedia and send us a link.
Okay.
Because that way we can verify who made it.
All the details are in the mags, in the news section.
But if you want your creature to be made out of magic and be able to be held.
A real-life model of your beautiful creature.
It's only one, though. It's only one person can win. Yeah. I don't expect everyone to get it.
Stupidly, we're not allowed to enter.
No.
I want my Goggle Shark made foodie.
Maybe you just got a sweet talker, yeah.
Yeah, can you just?
Yeah,
ask
maybe
them?
Good.
Yeah.
You did just.
I mean, they're bound to set this up as a service, aren't they? Where you pay, you know, £30 or something. And...
But let's wait. If it were Blizzard, yes, they would.
I don't think EA like money less than Blizzard.
It's interesting.
They're all fans.
Those 3D printer services for Blizzard, they're still. It must be about 6 months since they launched. They're still running a lottery because demand is too great. So they just can't meet the demand for it.
Mm. I guess the equipment is just not in place to produce them en masse.
So that's Spore.
That is Spore.
Round of applause
and
for Spore.
It's very good. And when's the game out? September the 5th? 5th, yeah. It's a week following our issue. So
enjoy it. I've had the whole game ruined for me by Sempside Tom.
Yes.
However, it did act as like a tutorial for me.
No, that'll be
every time something's happening, I was like, how do you do this? How do you do this?
Can you
how
come
you
around my house when I'm playing it, Tom?
Sure.
Thanks.
Also, when you get it, you should try and get to the centre of the galaxy. Not like...
Straight
it's a
away.
Of urgency, but you know, prioritize it because
there's a big joke there, which Tom is refusing to tell us. Thankfully,
it's not really a big joke. It's all I say is I just didn't expect it. What was it? The Center of the Galaxy.
Tim's giant penis
Spanish,
monster.
Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, it wasn't that. But when I wrote in my review that all I can say is I didn't expect it. I suddenly realized that's a big hint that it is the Spanish Inquisition. It's not. It's no less silly, but
okay. Shall we talk about laptops?
Okay, but surely, Tim, laptops are just for boring people on trains.
Yes,
and
they
doing
are.
Work.
It's like watching an advert.
Well, that's that sorted out.
It is kind
Hi,
of.
Hi, I'm a laptop, advert. And I'm a desktop.
Are you a laptop, Tim, and I'm a desktop? I'm old-fashioned and a bit dusty.
I'm an ultra-portable.
I'd say portable.
Okay, all right.
I think I'm a desktop.
Tim's got product in his hair, and he uses an iPhone, so he's the
that's
trendy,
true.
Insufferable jerk.
Yeah.
I use moustache wax. And,
don't even have a moustache. Where did you use it?
Relish. And a PC phone.
Gentleman's relish. Yeah. Is that what they're calling it now?
You know, you've never had gentleman's relish.
I have.
You can get it in Waitrose.
It is
what department?
And it is not. Yes,
is it's made of anchovies. It's a little spread thing.
Oh,
it's really
God,
strong tasting.
Horrendous.
You are not ever allowed to say gentleman's relish in a podcast again.
I thought it was some sort of random hair product.
I don't know what happened. See, that's where
could
my hair went.
Such.
Yeah.
I put it on my head. So, laptops. Surely, Tim, they're just for boring old men doing work.
They are for... boring old men doing work, but it turns
End
out
feature.
You can play games on them as well.
Yes, this is a big feature in our new issue, in which you will find out how to, what kind of, and how fast games can be played on your laptop. Is that a bit tortured?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all
informational.
Yeah, it is. It's highly informational. It's nutritional. This feature. It's got.
Would you say it's full of goodness?
I'd say it's full of meaty goodness, like a bowl of Winalot.
That just puts me off.
But basically, no. I mean, I think the perception is that you can't play games on a laptop because they haven't got the right graphics in and they haven't got enough memory and all that jazz. But actually, it turns out to be rubbish. And you don't even need to spend a grand to be able to play pretty much anything.
£998.
Yes, that's right. Or even a lot less. And we've basically looked at sort of three price points, and you can play all of these on a £300 laptop, you can play all of these on a £600 laptop, and so on. We've actually tested them, so you can be absolutely sure that, you know, beyond Crysis, you can run what? You can run anything except Crysis on a...
I think we should never, ever use Crysis as an example of what you can play on any. Because even the benchmarks, even the double graphics cards that sit in desktops right now are still getting, like, 15 frames per second.
Yeah, the real hardcore hardware sites just had to change all their benchmarks when Crysis came out because nothing got 30 FPS, and that was their previous, like, to get 30 FPS or it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
And they couldn't call anything... Crisis-capable machines. We have to say, okay, for Crisis, it's 20.
We use things like Company of Heroes.
We've got Call of Duty 4 running decent speed on a £500 laptop.
That's impressive.
And that is kind of the level of performance you can expect from laptops today.
And I bet Spore would run beautifully.
Spore will run beautifully on a laptop.
And actually, worth saying about Spore is it is beautiful. It's because it's all kind of the same engine. The close-up creature stuff looks, you know, less detailed than you'd expect from a modern game. But basically, the further out you get, the more stunning it becomes. And when you're, you know, zooming around a planet in a UFO, it's just absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah.
Another game you'd like be good to play on a laptop is Quake Live.
Did I just hear the sound of a segue?
Oh, for God's sake!
I didn't know we were talking about Quake Live at any point. You just segued into something we were planned.
No, it's specifically written down on the important list of things.
It was a segue ambush.
Yeah. Didn't tell us about it.
A segue. It's in the new issue, we had a play of it the M Festival, didn't we?
We did.
We played with some pro gamers, and I totally fragged some of Four Kings.
Yeah. Did they have lag at that time?
No, it was on a LAN.
Yeah. Honestly, I hadn't played Quake 3 for years, it turns out I've still got it, man.
Quake Live is Quake 3 played from a browser window.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
That's basically it. Yeah. But it turns out that is a brilliant way to play games.
Yeah, it is. It's dead good. And it's going to be free. They're talking about sort of advertising stuff and kind of microtransactions maybe, but... you know, at the end of the day, if you can play Quake Live, again, in a browser, that's going to be playable pretty much on any machine ever.
Is it in any way inferior to, say, Quake 4 multiplayer or Quake 3 multiplayer proper?
It is Quake 3 multiplayer.
It is Quake 3.
We when we have the same maps, you know, the same mods, same mutators.
Every few months, we always go back to Quake 3 and have a lunchtime where we, you know,
well, it might not have mods.
Play on that space map.
It doesn't have mods.
Will we forever be doing this in Quake Live now?
Yeah.
It doesn't have mods, but it does have a load of options. We were playing Instagym, which isn't a standard Quake 3 multiplayer.
Yeah.
They've taken a lot of the pro stuff from Quake 3.
They built it all in.
And kind of built it in. Because the way the tech works, you can't really mod it.
Does it have Rocket Arena?
I don't know, actually.
I think it's got everything that was in Quake 3 Team Arena.
Because my thing is, I can usually predict where people are going to go, but I can't hit them with the railgun. So I just need only rockets, because everyone's so much better with the railgun than I am.
But I think Quake Live is absolutely brilliant.
Apparently they're thinking about doing it the same with Enemy Territory.
That would be amazing.
Well, it would make sense given that Battlefield's gone that way as well.
The original Enemy Territory and do exactly what they're doing with it. So they've got a ready-made. Apparently, John Carmack said in a recent interview that Enemy Territory was played online way more than Quake was.
Yeah, I believe that's true. And with the new Wolfenstein coming up,
they should do it with...
There's going to be something there, isn't there?
TF2. Then they truly would make no money from that game.
Make less than no money. Yes, there's Quake Live. It's a multiplayer game, and it's like living in the 20th century. It's very exciting. Good, so that's the new issue. What else?
That was an optional segue for anyone to pick up on, but leave it if you don't want it.
What are we going to talk about next, and we'll see if there's a segue?
We need to announce Tom's amazing book of bookitude.
Okay, hang on a second. So magazines, they're a bit like books.
But how do you get from Quake Live into that? That's what you've got to do.
Quake Live was in our magazine.
Lasers.
Rocket jump.
Free with the new issue of PC Gamer. That's the Spore issue, is a little book. You will find in the package a little book written by a certain Tom Francis.
Yes.
It's a bit complicated to tell people exactly what this is, because it's not like any book you'll have had anywhere else.
It's literally like no work of fiction you have ever read in your life.
Okay. Apart from the blogs that you posted last year.
Apart from the one just like it I did last year.
Yeah, everyone, it wasn't in a book.
Everyone remembers Tom's Galsith Diary, which was brilliant.
No, everyone who read it.
Thank you.
And lots of people read it, actually.
I know, but not everyone.
Which was a diary of Tom playing a very large game of Galsith against the AI. Turned out it was very funny.
And I said at the end, oh, if you enjoyed this, let me know and I'll do more of it. And a mere year later, already, there's another one.
Well, the problem is, it's rather time-consuming, as we discovered. Yeah, not only to play it, but also, of course, to write it up.
And I kept thinking I'd run into other games that suited it really well, like, you know, I don't know, Civ or, like, Supreme Commander or DEFCON or something, but there's nothing that has that quite the same sense of, like, epic drama, where there's just this ongoing story throughout the whole thing, except probably the Total War game.
I was about to say that would work, yeah. Shame you don't like them.
The good news is, sci-fi one. I'll play them.
It's free with the magazine.
Yes, free book, and it's essentially like a diary of the. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce your creatures or your leader's name.
Klesnikorlax, Ambassador of Lovejoy.
Yes,
there's a story behind the name.
What's the? I'm kind of interested.
It's well, the first part there isn't really a story. I just made up the word, but then I. Wanted to make him like seem friendly, because what I'm trying to do in this diary, last time I was a bit warmongering and a bit aggressive and I was a bit of a jerk to everybody, so I thought I'd try and go for peace and just bring the galaxy together in harmony and, you know, see if I could do that way. So I called him Klesnikorlax because he's an evil, you know, horrible space rabbit thing, but then appended his title to be Ambassador of Love, so that everyone would think, oh, he's friendly and he'll come bring peace to our people.
And your goal was to play an entire game of Galactic Civilizations 2 without declaring war on anybody. That was the original goal.
But there's a bug in Galactic Civilizations where sometimes it appends the name of your homeworld onto the end of your character's name. So Ambassador of Love became Ambassador of Lovejoy.
Oh,
my homeworld was called Joy.
Wasn't anything to do with the.
No, I didn't mean to do that. It just turned me into 90s, you know,
antique dealing
TV series.
But he
should totally be
a space alien.
Yeah.
He was in Deadwood.
He was absolutely brilliant in Deadwood. Yeah. He becomes, you know, one of the best villains in.
I'm not sure we could quote any of the dialogue on this family podcast.
We swear all the time.
It's as marked as explicit on iTunes as well.
It's mostly the word cocksucker.
Yeah.
My favourite line from the series is San Francisco cocksucker.
Yeah. San Francisco cocksucker.
Which I've actually, you know, got a lot done. If you haven't got a clue what we're talking about, you really need to go and watch some Deadwood.
Yep. You can get it on DVD. It's quite cheap. Yeah. Or you rent it from, you know, Love Film.
I did exactly that and devoured it in the space of about 2 weeks. So, yes, free book. It's very entertaining. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I hope, I hope it's not terrible, at least.
And thank you, Stardock, for your operation.
Good to see you aiming high with that.
Speaking of rocket launchers.
Oh, yes.
Earlier. Can you really rocket jump?
No.
No.
No. Next topic.
Moving swiftly.
Okay. No, there is a feature in the new issue in which we attempt to test out some of gaming's sciences, such as what would happen if you really tried to rocket jump. And
would you like to hear my impression of someone
that's
actually trying to rocket
that's
jump?
That's why Craig doesn't have any legs anymore. Go on.
Okay.
Pretty good.
I don't think you'd be enough of your left to scream.
Can I make that can I make that my text message sound? Yes.
It'll be in the MP3, just cut it out. Cut out and keep that sound.
Can you do any other game impressions?
What would you like?
TF2 Sentry.
Beep beep.
That was a bit of crap, actually.
Okay.
Didn't have time to prepare. Obviously, I rehearsed the other one last night for hours on end.
Yeah. It paid off. Good, excellent. So, what else is in that issue? Anything else we want to tell people about, or shall the rest remain a secret? A pleasant surprise when you buy the magazine.
We have a review of Stalker.
Yeah, Stalker Clear Sky.
Clearsky,
absolutely. Which is
a tremendous disappointment.
Yeah, let's not dwell too much on it, but I think you should read the review before you even consider buying it.
I've been waiting for it to come out. I've been not going back to Stalker and hope that it would improve everything and make it all good, and it turns out it just doesn't.
It kind of goes the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I just go back to Stalker instead.
Yeah.
Or in Russian.
What's Russian for fail? Can everyone stop calling it Russian, by the way? It's fucking Ukrainian.
Yeah, it's true.
Give them some respect.
Respect. We want to predict the TF2 unlocks.
Yes, we just heard today in our time that there are some heavy unlocks coming for Team Fortress 2 now. By the time you hear this, they'll probably be have been opened. Is that?
They will have, yeah.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Well, it'll all be live. You'll be playing with them. You'll know exactly what they are.
Super. Okay, well, I hope you're enjoying them. We don't know what they are, but we're going to guess.
We have heard rumours that have been incredibly right so far.
Ah, okay.
And so far all we know is that they've announced the KGB, which is boxing gloves, killing gloves of boxing.
Yes.
And the achievements they've announced, they haven't told us what they're for, but the file names reveal that one of them is for eating sandwiches. And the rumours floating around on the Something Awful forums from people who claim to be valve testers were that there would be boxing gloves that, you know, give you 5 seconds of crit after you kill someone with them, which has come true. And there'd be a sandwich that restores 100 health when you eat it, which has come true. Well, which looks very strongly supported by the evidence. And the third unlock, they say, will be a minigun which does 25% less damage but halves the movement speed of everyone it hits. Which sounds very un-Valve, because it sounds like something that's going to really, you know, kind of ruin your fun if you get hit by it and very kind of bogged down.
Yeah, I would scream.
But
as opposed to, say, the back burner, which was great fun for everybody.
But it's kind of vicious and it encourages a certain tactic.
Yeah,
it sort of
that encourages the way they want the pirate to be played, which is an ambush class, is to go in behind people and get them once they're sort of not expecting it.
But anyway, I do believe it's probably correct, but it's surprising.
We do have one thing where, when we were at Valve last time, they were talking about a payload map. There's a payload map coming up with this next update. And the plan that they said they were thinking about was to make the actual moving cart big enough for people to like put sentries on.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. So if that happens, then
it'd be great. Because if you had a sentry nest on there and you could actually defend it, you could put teleporters on there. So every time someone's on, you could teleport back to the cart.
Yeah.
So are they actually going to replace the shotgun with the sandwich?
Supposedly. And I believe that.
I saw a great.
I've got a prediction for the video that they refuse to name.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be meat the sandwich.
See, I think it's going to be
with an A.
Meat. This is good meat with meat.
This is utterly pointless, isn't it? We should move on because everybody listening to this already knows exactly what this thing is going to be.
Yeah,
and they're just laughing at us, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's okay. That's kind of, it's actually, if you look closely, it's in your job description.
Really, to predict things wrongly after the fact.
No, to be laughed at by readers.
Yeah.
Speaking of readers.
Yes.
Would you like to hear a reader's letter?
Absolutely.
Okay, this is a paper letter. And I'm kind of thinking maybe
crinkle it again for the benefit of the
papery
letter.
Our favourite thing. I'm thinking maybe each time we get a paper letter, we should read it on the podcast. Or
No.
The paper letters. Once we get a paper letter, we just presume it's a madman.
Yeah.
Because I have still got one on my desk from like 3 years ago.
Because it's extremely rare to get any real mail these days. It all comes via email, as it probably should. And so anyone still writing on this is probably somebody who doesn't have the internet or is a little bit crazy. And you can tell from the handwriting sometimes. But this guy is not, I don't think, crazy, and he seems like a charming little lad. So I'm going to read his thoughts. Dear PC Gamer, my PC has been broke for over 6 months now. I haven't played a single PC game ever since.
Aww.
You have to imagine he's like 8 years old and crying at this point. I've tried playing COD 4 and others on Xbox 360, but I prefer COD games on the PC.
Me too.
Anyway, about a week after my PC broke, one day I just randomly picked up a copy of your magazine and OMG! I was amazed! It was absolutely brilliant! I've been buying them ever since. You guys are the best ever. I just want to say thanks in capitals. Your mag has kept me up to date with every game out there. You guys do a really good job with your mags. Yours mags, for some reason. And you should give yourselves a pat on the back. Oh, and now I'm a proud owner of an Apollo GT. I thought that was a car.
I think that's a car.
I thought it was a spaceship.
Can we ride back to him to get a PC?
How old is he?
How rich is he?
He's 35. Which I saw in your bag. I hope to see you guys soon online on... It's TF2, but he's scribbled out the 2 and then written 2 above it.
Okay.
ETC.
TF squared.
Good luck in the futter with your mag, lads. Best wishes, Ricky Kennedy.
Ricky Aww. Kennedy is my favourite person.
Ricky Thank Kennedy Ricky. Is you our number one reader this week. Excellent. Well, that's
reader
great
of the month.
I was really expecting some form of kind of crazy madness under all your eyeballs.
That's what they usually are.
I almost didn't read it out because we can't really mock him.
See, I've got a theory about letters and emails from readers is that, you know, your average reader who's, you know, generally happy with things and likes playing their games, got no major complaints, they're not going to write in and complain about the mag because they've got nothing to complain about. So they just don't write in. I really think there's a happy silent majority. If I'm wrong, do write in.
The assumption of the contingent masses.
that's really cheered me up. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for bringing that in.
No problem.
We shall skip back to the office.
Yeah, I might not, you know, cry myself to sleep tonight. That's lovely.
How long has it been since you didn't cry yourself to sleep?
I can't remember.
Is that because you eat too much gentleman's relish?
Yeah, that's true. Really, oh, I've got a bit in my eyeballs. I don't know what I'm expecting.
But it doesn't work. You still can't see through time.
Yep, that's right. So we need to say one more thing before we sign off for the... Actually, how are we doing for time? Hang on.
Dead space, dead air, dead air.
We're a little bit further away from the computer that times us. I can't quite tell.
We've had complaints that our podcast is too short.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
I
get a complaint from Chris Livingston, who wrote the Concerned comic for Half-Life 2, who says, it's only 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's too short. That took a year.
An hour, I think.
His comic took a year.
I think that's too long.
It was awesome, though.
time is against us. We have to record another podcast immediately after we finish this one. And I've got to get back and do some work. Damn you.
This is the most important work you could do, Russ.
I see where you're coming from.
How is it not the most important work you can do by communicating to your readers the pleasure of pure PC gaming?
I think to make people feel like they've had the full experience and this podcast wasn't too short, I should add one more anecdote.
Okay.
Okay, 6 a.m. this morning, I was playing Supreme Commander, for reasons I won't go into.
Oh, my sweet Jesus.
And
I'll sleep for another 3 hours after that.
I sort of needed a screenshot of a Tsar, which is a giant UFO. It's pretty much the biggest thing in the game. It's an ultra-mega experimental unit that takes years to build, and, you know, 15 Tech 3 NGs working all the time, and masses and masses of mass and energy. Finally built it, absolutely enormous, and I discovered that the enemy were just building their own monkey spider, which is that, sorry, yeah. Monkey Lord, which
monkey
is a
Lord.
Huge robotic spider, yeah. You know, destroys everything with a giant hose of fire. And so I sent my Tsar, my huge UFO, the size of their city, basically, over to destroy it before it got built. So I didn't really care if I lost mine as long as they lost theirs. Kind of like the chess move where you take their queen knowing you'll lose your queen.
Yeah.
And it worked beautifully. Completely destroyed their thing, like, when it's inches from being finished. And got, you know, hammered by all their anti-aircraft stuff and lost half my health before I even got to the Monkey Lord, but, you know, did destroy it before I got blown up. And when the Tsar blows up, it doesn't just explode in midair. It kind of, like, buckles and, you know, it has little fires all over it and stuff. And then it drops from the sky. And it is absolutely enormous. It's a disc, you know, the size of Fiji. And it fell down, not into their city, disappointingly, because when it hits the ground, it kind of explodes with the force of a nuclear bomb. And I was really hoping it hit their, you know, nerve center. But it did hit their commander as he was running out of their base to try and get away from it. So this enormous disc is just kind of like, you see the shadow creep up from his base and finally, like, just engulf him. Just got a screenshot of the commander running away with this enormous disc just about to touch him. And
awesome.
Crashes down on his head. And it digs into the ground as well. So for a while you just couldn't see him in the wreckage.
So presumably game over at that point.
Sadly, it didn't kill him. He's incredibly tough.
disc the size of Fiji
landed
on your commander and he didn't die?
On the enemy commander.
That is a letdown to your
anecdote.
Well, I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question, but since you did, I can't lie.
You can lie.
You can lie. I do it.
And then this commander blew up with the force of a nuke, so it was like a double explosion, and that took out their entire base, and I won.
Fantastic. Nothing like a bit of 6 a.m. sup.
I've got an anecdote. I got ambushed by a giant Darwinian. In our lobby.
Yes, you did.
That's the anecdote.
Yes.
That's you can read about that on our blog, I believe.
Yes, yes. It's actually on our blog at peacegamer.co.
They're not in 2D anymore.
No, they're not.
They've got depth.
Brilliantly, dragging a giant Darwinian through the centre of Bath on a Tuesday night.
Thursday night
is
Wednesday
really,
night?
On an evening.
That's cool night.
Is quite good fun.
Yes.
Yep. And trying to get into an Indian restaurant is also amusing.
Down the stairs, round the corners, stacking by the fire exit. It was quite embarrassing.
What did you order? Darwinian.
Other smaller Darwinians.
There would be a good answer to this if I were witty.
We did name the Darwinian Raj, though.
Yes, after the restaurant.
Rajput.
The Rajput, yeah. Our favourite Indian restaurant in Bath. Hopefully that'll get us a free meal next time.
Send us curry,
please, Rajput.
You're not listening to this, let's face it. Yeah,
if you sign up to their, if you're like a regular customer, they send you birthday cards. Honest. True fact.
You go there far too much.
Good. There's one more thing I want to say, and it's about the Peace Gamer Showdown. We did
it's becoming like the Columbo podcast. Just one more thing.
One more thing.
We did talk
about the showdown earlier, didn't we?
Yeah.
What did we say?
Went all about the showdown at the Hoedown, the Lowdown, and the Motown.
We said we were going to talk about showdown.
Should we actually tell people?
Yes.
a bit more about what it is. But we're going to do that in a separate podcast, aren't we?
Yeah. Okay, let's give the date.
Okay, the date is the 27th and 28th of September. And it's going to be at the Stoneleigh Park kind of thing. If you've heard about the M Festival or I-34, it was the same venue. We're doing ours the end of September. So tickets are on sale. Go to the PCGamerShowdown.com and you can find out more there.
And we'll be there.
We will be there doing stuff. There's prizes and loads of money to win, etc., etc. Anyway, go and locate our next podcast to hear more about that. We're going to be starting recording that in a minute. And yes, we're going to save all the information for that. Right, are we all done then, gents? Have we said enough for this podcast?
I have no anecdotes.
Really?
I've been playing Crackdown.
That's a really bad anecdote. Work on that for next time.
Just one more thing. I'm done.
Good. Excellent. Okay.
Tim was the murderer.
Well, thank you all, gentlemen, for your participation in this our podcast, and we will have another one for you within moments. That's an extra special one about the PC Gamer Showdown. So, thank you for listening. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.